Right now, I mean, the instinct for most people looking at the global economy is to just take their life savings, stuff it inside a mattress, and hide.
Oh, yeah, just completely freeze up.
Exactly. You are probably feeling that heavy air of instability right now. I know I am. We are looking at a constant stream of shifting geopolitical climates, inflation rates that make a standard grocery run feel like a luxury purchase, and just, well, a relentless cost of living crisis.
It is exhausting for people. And that instinct to hide, to freeze entirely when the world feels unpredictable, it is incredibly powerful.
But according to the strategic blueprints we are exploring today, the mattress is actually the only place where you are mathematically guaranteed to lose your wealth over time.
It really is, because people either freeze or they go the complete opposite direction and make these wild reactionary bets.
Like trying to strike it rich overnight.
Right, hoping to outpace inflation in one lucky move. But the source material we were looking at points out that neither of those extremes actually protects you. Going into the markets guns akimbo is not a strategy.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because today's deep dive is built specifically for you, the learner. You want to cut through the panic, avoid the noise, and figure out how to achieve actual financial stability.
And this guide really delivers on that.
Yeah, we are pulling from a remarkably detailed strategic guide on secure investing and growth portfolios. And what I love is that it doesn't just recycle standard Wall Street advice, it explores a really compelling mix of global markets and local Saudi options.
Which gives it a great perspective.
Definitely. It focuses heavily on safety, growth, and the modern digital platforms that are completely rewriting the rules of access.
What's fascinating here is how the source completely dismantles our default definition of a safe haven. Because true security, especially in today's economic climate, is an active process, not a passive one.
Right, it's not just burying your gold in the backyard.
Exactly. It is about actively managing risk while maintaining steady, reliable growth. When you just hide cash, well, inflation silently erodes its purchasing power year after year.
That is a massive mindset shift. And before we even get into the specific assets to buy, we really have to establish what secure actually means in the financial world.
Because the definition gets twisted a lot.
Oh, for sure. I think the default assumption is that a secure investment means zero risk. Meaning, if I put $100 in, I can never, under any circumstances, see that account drop to $99.
Which is honestly the single most dangerous myth in finance. All investing carries risk, fundamentally.
There is no magic risk-free button.
Right. If a financial product genuinely has zero risk, it will have zero reward. Security in the professional financial world means you are intelligently engineering the management of that risk.
Taking calculated steps.
Exactly. You are protecting your initial capital against permanent loss and establishing a reasonable expectation of a predictable return. Our source outlines three absolute pillars that define a secure investment.
And those are stability, transparency, and regulatory oversight, right?
You got it. Those three are non-negotiable.
Okay, so stability, transparency, and oversight. Think about it like a well-built ship navigating the ocean. The ocean is the market. It is volatile by nature. There are going to be massive waves, and there will be storms.
You definitely cannot control the water.
Right. But if you invest in a secure, stable ship, it means the hull is designed to take a beating without sinking. And then transparency means that you, as the passenger and investor, have full access to the blueprints.
Oh, I like that analogy. You know exactly how the engine works, what materials were used, where the lifeboats are.
Yeah, exactly.
That perfectly captures the dynamic. You expect the waves, but you evaluate the hull. Because if an investment asset wildly swings in fundamental value from day to day with no underlying logic, well, it lacks stability.
That's a leaky boat.
Yeah. And if the company or platform holding your money obfuscates how that money is actually being utilized, hiding behind complex buzzwords, it lacks transparency.
And what about the oversight pillar?
If there is no independent authority auditing them to ensure those blueprints are accurate, it lacks regulatory oversight.
But let me challenge this foundation for a second. If we obsess over these three pillars, stability, transparency, regulation doesn't secure just become a synonym for boring.
How do you mean?
Well, we're talking about painfully low returns where you're barely making pennies a year while other people are, doubling their money on the latest tech stock.
That is a super common feeling. But let's define what boring actually looks like over a decade, because the source explicitly tackles this misconception.
Okay, I'm listening.
Conservative investors who prioritize security often end up seeing significantly healthier, steadier growth than the aggressive risk takers. The mechanism just looks different.
Because it's not happening overnight.
Right. It relies on the mathematical power of compound interest over time rather than chasing sudden spikes. When you chase fast profits or jump on a trending stock because of social media hype, you are abandoning your heavily armored ship for a jet ski during a hurricane.
And that jet ski has a very high probability of flipping over and leaving you with absolutely nothing.
Exactly. So the boring approach is actually just a disciplined, unemotional approach.
It is the complete removal of panic from the equation.
Yes. And this is where that third pillar, regulatory oversight, becomes the anchor. It gives you the confidence to actually hold your position when the market gets rough. The source grounds this in a very specific local context by pointing to the Capital Market Authority, or the CMA, in Saudi Arabia.
I want to dig into that because oversight can sound like a really vague bureaucratic term. How does the CMA actually function to protect an everyday person's money?
Well, keeping with your analogy, they act as the uncompromising inspector in your shipyard. Any broker, digital platform, or fund operating under their jurisdiction must adhere to incredibly rigorous standards.
Like what, specifically?
We are talking about mandatory segregated accounts, meaning a platform cannot use your invested capital to pay their own operational electric bills.
Oh, wow. So they can't mix the funds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The CMA audits these ledgers constantly. They enforce operational accountability and direct customer protection laws. That creates an environment where an investor can actually trust the infrastructure holding their wealth.
Because knowing the inspector verified the steel in the hull makes it a lot easier to sleep when the storm hits.
Precisely.
Okay, so we've established that a secure investment requires stability, transparency, and a strict regulatory inspector like the CMA. Let's look at the actual materials we are using to build this portfolio.
The fun part.
Right. And the text emphasizes that we do not need to reinvent the wheel here. There's a core toolkit of assets proven to weather economic storms. Let's start with the bedrock government bonds and treasury securities.
These are the absolute foundation. The source highlights U.S. treasury bonds, U.K. gilts, and importantly, Sukuk.
Sukuk is a really fascinating instrument. Let's break down how it functions differently from a standard Western bond.
Sure. So functionally, Sukuk are Islamic financial certificates that serve a similar purpose to bonds, but they are structured specifically to comply with Islamic religious law.
Which prohibits the charging or paying of interest, right?
Exactly. Instead of earning interest on a loan, a Sukuk investor owns a partial tangible interest in an underlying asset and earns a share of the profit generated by that asset.
That makes a lot of sense.
But whether we are discussing a U.S. Treasury, a U.K. gilt, or a government-issued Sukuk, the underlying mechanism providing safety is identical, and that's state backing.
Because a sovereign national government is standing behind the obligation.
Yes. The risk of a major national government defaulting is incredibly low compared to a private corporation. You are securing a highly reliable, consistent return. They are designed for capital preservation above all else.
So bonds and Sukuk protect the principal, but they move slowly. If inflation suddenly spikes to, say, 8% and your bond is only returning 4%, you're still technically losing purchasing power.
That is a trade-off, yeah.
So how do we introduce growth into this toolkit without losing that baseline security?
That leads us to the second asset class, index funds and ETFs, or exchange-traded funds. Specifically, broad market indices like the S&P 500 or the FTSE 100.
Let's visualize how an ETF works for you guys listening. Think of a national power grid.
Okay.
If an entire city relies on one massive generator and that generator breaks down, the whole city goes dark. That is what happens when you put all your money into one single company's stock.
A single point of failure.
Exactly. But an ETF is a grid connected to 500 different generators.
That is a great way to put it. The mechanism is aggressive risk distribution. By buying a single share of an S&P 500 ETF, you are spreading your exposure across 500 of the largest, most successful companies in the market simultaneously.
So if one goes down, you're fine.
Right. If one company faces a scandal or goes bankrupt, the impact on your overall portfolio is negligible because the other 499 companies are sustaining the grid.
Mm.
That structural resilience is why they are a cornerstone of secure long-term growth.
Moving down the toolkit, the source brings up high-yield savings and fixed deposits. This feels incredibly basic, but there is a specific economic environment where this shines, isn't there?
Very much so. In high interest rate environments, which central banks typically engineer to combat inflation, these accounts become highly strategic.
Because you're actually getting a decent return just for sitting in cash.
Exactly. Your capital is shielded entirely from market volatility. and it is usually backed by government deposit insurance up to a specific limit. But the trade-off is the growth mechanism is severely capped.
It's the ultimate parking spot for cash you might need in an emergency. Which brings us to the heavy hitter, real estate, both physical property and REITs, which are real estate investment trusts.
Real estate provides a vital dual mechanism for a secure portfolio.
How so?
First, it generates steady, ongoing cash flow through rental yields. Second, it historically offers capital appreciation, so the physical property itself becomes more valuable over time.
Right.
But its most critical function in today's climate is acting as a natural hedge against inflation.
Because as the cost of living skyrockets, property values and rental rates typically rise right alongside it. It absorbs the inflation shock.
Exactly. It protects your purchasing power when fiat currency is struggling.
And speaking of fiat currency, that brings us to the final asset in the toolkit, precious metals, specifically gold and silver. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, this is a fun one.
Because culturally, we view gold as the ultimate symbol of wealth creation. But the text points out a stark reality about precious metals. Gold doesn't actually do anything, does it?
It is entirely unproductive. A bar of gold sitting in a vault does not pay a quarterly dividend. It does not charge monthly rent. It does not innovate or grow.
It's a financial time capsule. Mm-hmm. You put a certain amount of purchasing power into it, and it just sits there, preserving that exact value across decades. It is an anchor, not an engine.
That is the perfect way to understand it. Gold is the classic safe haven asset because its core function is holding value when systems fail. We should probably briefly define fiat currency. That's the everyday paper money backed by governments like U.S. dollars, British pounds, or Saudi rials.
The cash in our wallets.
Exactly. When governments print too much fiat currency, inflation happens, and your money buys less at the grocery store. Because gold has physical scarcity, you cannot simply print more of it. It generally holds steady or actively increases in relative value during those downturns.
Okay, so we have the raw materials laid out. We have the state-backed bonds and Sukuk, the diversified ETFs, the cash deposits, the inflation hedging real estate, and the time capsule gold.
It's a solid list.
But just having a pile of good tools on the floor doesn't give you a secure ship. If you take your entire life savings and dump it exclusively into real estate, you've picked a secure asset, but you have a dangerously flawed strategy.
You've created a massive vulnerability.
Right. And this raises an important question. How do you synthesize these individual assets into an armor-plated portfolio?
The answer is diversification, but not just random diversification. We need to look at the underlying mathematical mechanism, which is correlation.
The idea that different assets behave differently under the same economic pressure.
It's a mathematical seesaw. True security comes from combining inversely correlated assets. For instance, when the stock market crashes, investors panic and flee toward the safety of government bonds.
Which drives the bond prices up.
Exactly. That surge in demand often drives the value of your existing bonds up. If the housing market takes a hit, your real estate dips, but your gold might be spiking as inflation rises. They dynamically counterbalance each other so that no single economic event can wipe you out.
And the source material doesn't leave us guessing on how to build this seesaw. It provides concrete blueprints. Let's walk through the two specific portfolio models the text outlines, starting with the conservative portfolio.
The conservative portfolio is engineered for an investor whose absolute highest priority is stability. They are likely nearing retirement or simply cannot tolerate seeing their account balance fluctuate.
So what's the breakdown?
It is highly defensive. 50% in government bonds or Sukuk, 20% in index funds and ETFs, 15% in real estate or REITs, 10% in precious metals, and 5% in cash or high-yield savings.
Wow. Okay, the logic there is crystal clear. Half of the entire portfolio is locked into state-backed debt. It is heavily anchored.
A very heavy anchor, yeah.
But they still allocate 20% to the broader stock market and 15% to real estate to ensure inflation doesn't slowly degrade that massive bond position.
Exactly. You need that little bit of growth to outpace inflation.
Now, how does the math shift when we look at the second model, the balanced portfolio?
The balanced portfolio is for an investor who still fundamentally demands security, but has a longer time horizon and is willing to accept slightly more managed volatility to capture higher growth.
Okay, so they can handle a few more waves.
Right. In this model, government bonds drop down to 30%. Index funds and ETFs take the lead position at 35%. Real estate and REITs bump up to 20%. Precious metals hold steady at 10%, and cash remains at 5%.
Notice the deliberate mechanics there, you guys. They've shifted 20% of the capital out of the ultra-safe bonds and pushed it into the stock market and property.
The engine is running hotter.
Exactly. It's running hotter to generate more wealth,
yeah.
But the structural integrity, the diversification, is still entirely intact.
It's a really smart balance.
So what does this all mean for you? It means the text is delivering a definitive mandate. Regardless of your personal financial style, an intelligently allocated, diversified portfolio is the mathematically proven path to security.
You really cannot afford to bet your entire future on one asset class.
No matter how invincible you think the property market or a specific tech sector might be, so you shouldn't put all your eggs in the property basket, no matter how much you love real estate.
The numbers do not lie. Diversification is the only reliable armor against an unpredictable future.
Okay, we have the strategic blueprints. We know the percentages. But here is the critical failure point. None of the strategy matters if the actual vehicle you use to buy these assets is fundamentally compromised.
Because we execute almost all of our investing online now.
Right, through digital platforms and apps. How do we ensure the shipyard building our portfolio isn't cutting corners?
This is where vetting becomes non-negotiable. The source provides a strict, uncompromising checklist for evaluating any platform, and the very first hurdle goes back to our earlier discussion about regulation.
Right, the inspectors.
You must verify that a platform is registered with the prime financial authority in its operating region.
We are looking for the heavy-hitting regulatory bodies.
Yes. The text explicitly lists them so you know exactly what to look for. In the U.S., it's the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. In the U.K., the FCA, the Financial Conduct Authority.
And in Australia?
ASIC, the Australian Securities and Investments Commission. And of course, in Saudi Arabia, the CMA. The text highlights Tada Wool and Al Rajhi Capital as premier CMA-regulated options, particularly for safely accessing souk and mutual funds.
So if a platform is not deeply scrutinized by one of these bodies, they do not get your money.
You just close the browser and walk away.
The second check on the list is transparency and security. And the source points out a massive flashing red flag here, which is deliberate complexity.
Oh, this happens all the time. Jargon is often used as a weapon to mask risk.
To make you feel like you're just not smart enough to understand it.
Exactly. But a legitimate platform will offer absolute clarity. You should be able to instantly find their fee structure, understand the exact risks of the products they offer, and know precisely what the procedure is for withdrawing your own funds.
Transparency is the natural antidote to financial scams.
It really is.
And on the digital security side, the text treats things like two-factor authentication and high-level encryption as bare minimum requirements.
Oh, absolutely. You wouldn't deposit your life savings into a physical bank that leaves its vault door wide open overnight, right?
No way.
So you cannot use a digital platform with weak cybersecurity protocols.
And the final vetting check is reputation. Do not simply rely on a platform's marketing copy.
You need to investigate third-party audits, read independent reviews, and look at the operational history.
Yeah, if a platform launched 6 months ago, who are the founders? What is their track record managing institutional wealth?
You must vet the people building your ship.
Which brings us to a fascinating evolution in how these platforms operate, specifically regarding real estate.
This is a really cool development.
We established earlier that real estate is a crucial 15 to 20% of a balanced portfolio. But let's be honest about the barrier to entry here. If you are a young investor, you likely do not have the massive capital required for a down payment on an apartment building or a commercial property.
Historically, you were simply locked out of the most lucrative physical assets.
Yeah, forced to either accept massive mortgage debt or settle for secondary exposure through standard REITs.
But the technological landscape is radically altering those barriers.
And the text highlights a platform called Osul Gamma as a prime example of this disruption in the Saudi market. Because instead of needing millions to buy the entire building, Osul Gamma allows you to essentially buy a single brick.
It's brilliant.
Break down the actual mechanism of how they are achieving this.
Well, it relies entirely on blockchain technology to essentially tokenize physical property.
Tokenize? Wait, so explain how that actually works.
In traditional real estate, buying a fraction of a building requires just an overwhelming amount of legal paperwork. You know, mortgage brokers, title companies, massive administrative overhead.
All those fees add up.
And those middlemen make micro-investing financially impossible. But blockchain replaces all of that with a decentralized, highly secure digital ledger.
Okay.
It allows Osul Gamma to divide the ownership of a physical asset into thousands of digital tokens. and automatically manage the distribution of rental income to the token holders.
And the source notes that because of this technology, investors can start buying into physical property from as little as 500 SAR.
Which is roughly $130.
It is a complete paradigm shift. It takes the historic reliability and inflation hedging power of physical real estate and marries it to the immediate accessibility of a digital platform. So if I am building that balanced portfolio we analyzed and I need to allocate 20% to real estate, I no longer have to save for a decade to get a mortgage.
Nope. You can funnel your monthly allocation into fractional property shares right from your phone.
Knowing my ownership is permanently and securely verified on the blockchain.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, platforms utilizing this technology represent a profound democratization of finance.
It really opens the doors.
They are taking the exact high-level diversification strategies that were previously guarded by high wealth barriers and making them accessible to everyday people. It changes the entire landscape of who gets to build a truly secure, institutional-grade portfolio.
That is genuinely incredible to think about. Okay, we have covered an immense amount of ground today, so let's bring it all home.
Sounds good.
The core takeaway here for you, the learner, is that secure investing isn't about hiding your money under a mattress.
And it certainly isn't about gambling on the latest trend.
Right. It is about cold strategic planning. It is about utilizing a deeply diversified mix of regulated assets, your government sukuk acting as the heavy anchor, your ETFs distributing risk across the global power grid, your fractional real estate absorbing the shocks of inflation.
And crucially, it requires executing that strategy exclusively through platforms that are transparent, digitally fortified, and strictly audited by authorities like the CMA.
You expect the market to have violent waves, but you have the blueprints to build a ship that will not sink.
And as you reflect on building that ship for yourself, this raises an important question to leave you with.
Oh, lay it on us.
If blockchain technology is now making it possible to securely invest in physical real estate for the price of a nice dinner, just 500 SAR, what other traditionally exclusive asset classes might become democratized next?
Wow, yeah.
And how will this newfound barrier-free access completely rewrite the rules of generational wealth for everyday people over the next decade?
A brilliant question to leave off on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Take these tools, keep questioning the mechanics of where your money goes, keep learning, and most importantly, keep investing wisely out there. We'll catch you next time.